listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
1989, the number, another summer. Sound of the funky drummer. Music hitting your heart because I know you got soul. Brothers and sisters, listen, if you're missing y'all swinging while I'm singing, given what you're getting, knowing what I know, while the black band's sweating and the rhythm rhymes rolling.
Hey, gotta give the people what they want.
Yes.
We are live. This is your host, the Blackout. This is Blackout's his podcast, your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, Sunday morning.
Ready to do some podcasting. We have one of our favorite people in here. You guys may know her from her album Stay Eating Cookies, which is available everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's got another album coming out this month. It's our girl Shalewa Sharp. What's going on, Shalewa?
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Great. We appreciate you coming on. I know you had some technical difficulties this morning.
And, oh, sure. Of course.
But you persevered, and look at us. We are all together now, so yeah, thank you.
We're used to the technology. We have a running joke with three guys on where we kind of give them like a 30 to 45 minute gap of like computer time.
That's
very sweet of you.
So, first of all, you got a new album coming out. What's the name of it?
Yep. It's called So You Just Out Here?
I just wanted to hear you say it. It makes me laugh every time.
I tried to add a question mark so that people would know kind of what I'm going for with it. Because Stay Eating Cookies, while I love that title, the inflections I've heard from people trying to say it, it's just, you know, stay eating cookies, but I've heard it as a question, as a philosophical moment, just people really going through it. So I was like, all right, well, next time punctuation, if this seems to confuse folks, that probably will help.
Well, so, I love it. And then where'd you get the idea for the album cover?
I'm so glad you asked, because that's probably what I worked the hardest on. I decided to go with, all right, there was a time in the 70s where everyone seemed to be taking their album cover photos outside. Mm-hmm. And so just in the woods. And I don't know if that was a holdover from like the hippie 60s or what. But my influence were like 1970s country music female singers, where they all had these huge bouffants and they were, you know, gussied up in their finest frilly dresses. And then they were leaning on a tree or on a fence or by a horse or something. And it's all very fuzzy. It's like Vaseline on the lens, very fuzzy. Or, you know, there were a couple of pictures I saw of Dolly Parton just in a room of pillows. And then later people sent me pictures of other covers of like Bill Withers just, you know, with no shoes on in the woods and things like that. So that's what I was going for. And I took the picture at a park that's like a block from my apartment with my roommate's phone. And I was just like, I think this might be the kind of lighting I need for it to look like a crazy country western singer just leaning on a tree. So I found one of the last four trees in Brooklyn and managed to get the shot.
I love the cover. Once again, like that combo with the name, like I haven't even heard the album yet and I'm already like just laughing. So I can't wait. And I love the last album, Stay Eating Cookies. I was actually listening to it again last night, preparing for the interview and stuff. And it was just, oh my God, you're so funny. I know you probably get that a lot,
thank
but
you so
oh my
much.
God. Like, there was also this clip, on Facebook I saw where you were talking about dating now and, different types of men on like the apps and stuff. Like, you straight up slay me, man. It's look like it's been, I think, a couple of years since you've been on the show. So like, what all's been going on? Like, I think you were on TV on like a late night show. Like, you've been doing things.
Yeah. So since I've seen you, I think the, if I go chronologically, it might be easier. The Black Panther moment happened.
Yes.
Where I just got an email that was like, hey, we're looking for people to give their review of Black Panther for the Tonight Show. And then the next time Chadwick Boseman is in town, we're going to show him, the next time he's booked on a show, we're going to show him what people thought of the movie. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I can do that. So I went down there, and there were a bunch of us, and we all took turns going into another room and, like, giving a review. And what they didn't tell us was that Chadwick Boseman was there.
Yes.
And so it was one of those Jimmy Fallon moments where, you know, he just comes out with a celebrity while you're talking to a poster. So I think my clip might have been notable because I wasn't, like, outwardly excited. Because I get excited, but I'm not like a hop up and whoa kind of person.
Yeah.
I'm just like a, oh, right, sure. I'm almost too chill. And also, I had been watching at home personally, I've just been watching clips of the Black Panther, like, junket, the press junket.
Mm.
So I'd already been watching clips of Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan just coming in the rooms and people interviewing them and all that stuff. So when Chadwick Boseman walked out, I just felt like I was watching a YouTube clip. So there was no real thing of like, oh my God, I'm in the room with him. I was like, oh yeah, of course he'd be here. This is a Black Panther thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was logical. And so I almost just, as if I'm talking to a video clip, just like, oh, hey, how you doing? That kind of thing. And so that's kind of what was going through my head. And it wasn't until, I guess, the next day, you know, because they showed it that night. And I watched it with my roommate, and I was like, oh, that's nice. And I went to bed, and I woke up, and I had, like, maybe 30 new Twitter followers. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, cool. And then by the time I got to work 2 hours later, I had, like, 100 new Twitter followers. And I was like, oh, I think this might be a thing today.
Yeah.
So that was bizarre in and of itself. That was just a very surreal weekend, where, you know, the following couple of days I had coworkers coming in and going, you were number one on the Yahoo News. And I was like, you still look at Yahoo News? You know, like, I'm learning a lot about them. And
girl, I saw you on MySpace.
Right?
Yeah. Like, oh, boy. I mean, they are. I work with a few older people. There is I work with a woman who, when she turns on her computer every morning, it starts with Austin Powers saying, yeah, baby. And I'm like, no. First off, you turn off your computer every night. And then
right.
At least you know whenever you send her an email that she gets it, because then you hear, you got mail.
You're right, exactly. There was so much demand. Oh. So it was fascinating to see that. But yeah, since then, I got an opportunity to tape Two Dope Queen and the New Negroes, and then you know, they ask you if you can do it, and it's on television, and you try to find your dress with the least number of grease stains, and you go out and you try to do your best and not be nervous. And in both cases, I had to do comedy without my glasses on, which is nuts. Mm-hmm. Because I've been wearing glasses since I was 6, and I am much older than that now. So, but I, you know, I don't have, like, anti-glare on my glasses. And so they're like, well, you're going to have to take them off. And I'm like, okay, well, and I will need someone to walk me to my spot then.
Right. Yeah.
You also have, like, a cane I can use.
Can you point me towards the audience? Just point me towards where
just
they're at.
Make sure my back isn't to them, like Miles Davis or something. So in both sets, I was slightly discombobulated. And I was like, well, I'm just going to lean on these jokes because they're all I know right now. Everything else is literally a blur. And it just so happened that that stuff all hit this year, wow, along with the opportunity to record an album. Everything just kind of fell into place for 2019, which is nuts, because I'm not sure that that's my number in numerology. I don't know what my number is in numerology, but I didn't think it would be like 19.
Well, also,
you know,
how long have you been doing stand-up?
Just shy of 10 years. In September, okay. It'll be 10 years.
Okay, well, that's actually really good. Like 10 years in, and it's like, boom, 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 things are starting to pop all at once. And it is so weird that it's just like, okay, I'm on this Jimmy Kimmel moment, and then that's what it takes for some people to be like, oh my God, we got to get Shalewa Sharp now. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, you just never know is my point. Right. You never know what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. I would have never thought. I mean, I thought I was just giving a review. And it's interesting to watch. And it is, I do feel lucky that, because I just sometimes forget that I've been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I uprooted my life to do it and moved to New York to just kind of give it a shot. And so, and I'm very noncommittal about things. So I had to just like sit down with myself and go, no, Shalewa, you're truly giving this a shot.
Yeah.
This is what giving a shot means. Like, I'm now kind of at a point where I'm like, all right, it's time for me to like really think about this. Mm. Like, this isn't a hobby anymore. It wasn't a hobby when you moved to a new city, but you can always, if you move back in 2 years, it was a hobby.
Right.
I've been in New York for 6 years now, so I'm like, no, this is a thing. Mm. You know, you've been on television. You have little credits that can float around your head. So now what? And so that's kind of what I'm sitting in, which also kind of colored the album a bit.
As somebody that does not, I notice my son ignorant, that does not wear glasses. And Roger does. When you get your glasses, do they do it like a package? Like, you want the wax job? Like, do you get the anti-glare? Is it something that comes from the combo? I don't know.
I have since gotten new glasses. I remember when those particular glasses I had on then, they were like, well, do you want anti-glare? And I was just like, when am I going to need anti-glare? No. And they're like, well, do you want transition lenses? I was like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I just bet on the wrong horse. I have since gotten new glasses, where I've now moved into progressive lenses, which is a very sweet way of saying bifocal.
Yeah.
And, so I just ordered them, and I made sure to click anti-glare, because I'm like, I can't be without. I must have anti-glare. Apparently, that is a thing. So it hasn't come up yet. Of course, now that I've gotten anti-glare, I have 4 pair of anti-glare glasses. Will I be on TV again? Who knows?
It's because you're prepared.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so when you mean that means you don't have like the little line like my mom and them used to have on the glasses when you look up and down.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have it. Yeah. So what's the progressive? It's crazy. You look, you know, because I've been nearsighted, so I got to see far away. So the top third is for seeing far away, and then the bottom third is for where I could just get some readers from like a drugstore to kind of take care of that. But they built it into my glasses so I can read my phone or books or anything. But then there's a middle part where instead of putting a line, they just kind of blend it. So sometimes I will look through my glasses and go, I can't see near or far. And so it's just a lot of me just moving my head around like frantically, just trying to find the sweet spot in order to see what I need to see. There's a lot of adjustments.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's getting older.
As somebody that's worn glasses like since like fifth grade or whatever, it is amazing how far the technology's come, but it's still all the same shit kind of. So like,
they
and then like the thing that they add that I'm like, because I don't know why I do this, because I'm only buying glasses like once every 2 or 3 years, but when they start listing all the shit you can get, I do start being like frugal, where I'm like, well, I can get shades if it's gonna be sunny outside. I'll be fine. But really, I should just say yes to all the shit, because I'm only gonna get one pair of glasses, unless of course it's a deal. Sometimes they do 2 for 1, but I'm only gonna get that like one pair of glasses for the next 2 or 3 years. I should just
get
be like,
the line.
Let me get all the shit,
yeah,
and then figure out like if I don't like it, then 2 years from now I'll be like, oh, you know what? That wasn't cool, so I'm not gonna get that. But I never do. I either do transition or I do the like anti-glare, or I do like anti-scratch but no transition, or like I always mix and match, and now I have 17 pairs of glasses that don't do all the shit I need them to do. I'm like, wait, are these my sunny glasses? I'm gonna go outside today. I don't know, this is ridiculous.
Yes, next time get all the options, sir.
Yeah, just go ahead. I mean, you know, you only live once, and it's a shame that we're living with busted eyes, but we might as well take advantage of it. But yeah, it does kind of feel like you're buying a new car, and they're like talking about cleaning the undercarriage, and it's like, do I need that?
Yeah,
you
know? But, yeah, I'm like,
you might.
When do I scratch my glasses up? I mean, let's be real. Then I get home and I'm like, damn, I scratched the shit out of these glasses. I just got them.
Yeah, I don't even. Yeah, exactly. I put on gloves just to take them out. I try to wipe them, but something's gonna happen. Something always happens.
You know what would be nice right now? Some anti-smudge resistant glasses.
Right?
I should have paid the extra $3.
So now I won't look up and see fingerprints in my glasses.
Yeah, the other thing that's weird with glasses is like, it's a purchase that you're making, but like right there, but you can't pick them up for like 2 weeks. Like it's, so like you get all that shit and then I forget, like I got new glasses coming, and then that's when I get the phone call. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna finally see better. Oh man.
I've been living with this headache for, you know, 6 months. What's another 2 weeks? So you completely forget. I went ahead and ordered mine online and I guess they're okay. They trust you to do a major part of eye measuring.
Yes.
That they're just like, here's a paper ruler. Just have a friend stand uncomfortably close to you and look into the pupils of your eyes and measure it. And then let them guesstimate a number and put that in, and that's what you will wear for the next 2 years. And I'm like, I don't
know.
What?
You'd be better off just be like, nope, let the doctor do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, why did I pay money for the, why didn't they just include that part? They know I need glasses.
It's funny.
I don't understand it.
It's funny what we think, like, we don't need a professional for now, because, like, you know, it's like, okay, you need to get your eyes looked at, and then you need to buy some glasses. Okay, well, I can do the glasses making myself. I'll do that part. Thank you, optometrist, for letting me know my prescription.
Who spent
but
years and years in school.
I think I can eyeball this with my shoddy vision. I think I can eyeball these glasses. Like I just picture like someone seeing me one day and being like, one of my sides of my glasses is like an oval and one side is like a square, and they're like, oh, you did that yourself, didn't you?
Yes, you did.
You measured that shit, huh? Yeah, I could tell.
That's why it's off, They're not professionals for nothing.
Yeah, I'm just like walking with a head tilt in a certain way. Clearly, this is just how I have to wear these.
They're like, why you keep staring off to the left? You'd be like, no, move to the left. That's the only way I'm able to see you.
I'm
in the chat.
Only talking to people that approach me on the right. Otherwise, I will not see you.
Like, people in the chat can see it, but like, if I'm walking around with my glasses like this, like, it's like, oh yeah, you measured those yourself, didn't you? Yeah, that's why it's on your forehead and one's on your nose. That's not, let me guess, you had to take off your glasses to measure the right length for the glasses.
Right.
It just, yeah, that's
like,
a lot of trust.
You can measure this yourself if you want. And I was like, can I?
Can you? We're like, do you know how bad the average person is with math? Yes, we can do simple addition and subtraction, but when we try to do angles and shit, nah, dog.
Yeah, I'm like, I should have known $20 glasses made no sense.
Yes, I should have spent the $300.
Now that I'm wearing them on my neck, this may have been a mistake.
Yes, be like, they ain't got all them letters behind their lanes for nothing.
And I'm the dumb person that is trying to be like fashionable, so I'm picking out frames that I don't, they say they take progressive lenses, but I don't think they really, you know, took into account, or I want to say they messed up. Nah, you did, Shalewa, because I got them of completely different sizes, so I'm just like, oh, I got to look through this part here, and I have to place it on my nose just so, and I'm like, oh, this is meant for people with much longer noses, and this is not meant for a wide nose. Okay, so these are white people, but it's too late now. I paid my $20. I'm going to make it work.
They got you.
So, yeah, they got me.
Oh,
glasses.
Man. Yeah, that's a struggle, man. But yeah, it has gotten super streamlined. It's so different now than when I was coming up. But yeah, still basically the same job, you know. And I will go into like a glass, like my optometrist is right next to the people who sell lenses and all that shit and frames. So I'll just go in there and let those people do their jobs, man. I really will be like, right. Yeah, so what's gonna look good on me? What's the style? What's the, you know, what am I supposed to do? Because I don't know. I tried to do it online and I got so overwhelmed, man. I was like, oh, is this even gonna look like this when it get here? What if I, right. on my face is gonna look like this is a nice skinny white lady's face these glasses are on, but then when I get it, they're gonna be like, these are not Negro glasses. And you know, I'm so nervous, man. But
yeah, and then don't they have like the little things that like dent in your face? Like my mama used to have those little things that kind of press in your face, and for some people it's like a permanent mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot. It really is a lot. I just went with, I miss when my mother would pick up frames for me. I didn't realize it at the time. And she really was just getting frames that she could wear and then putting them on my small face. So all of my glasses were way too big. But that's what I just ended up doing, was just like, I'm like, let me just get the biggest glasses that I can find. I'm bound to find a spot somewhere in there where I'll be able to see with more surface area. and so that's kind of what I did. But yeah, I wish I wasn't also trying to be fashionable. I wish I was just like Coke bottles now, you know. But yeah. Yeah, and also I'm in New York and I haven't allowed myself to try and go out and figure out where to buy frames, because this place is terrifying in some respects with things like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know when I'm going to make it back to Atlanta to go to a place I know. To, you know, and I'm like, ugh, I'll just do it online, and this is how they get you. So now it's just, now I'm just buying stupid stuff online, and I don't know if it's going to work out. So I got a lot of like broken dreams in my closet, just that, where I was like, ooh, I was really shooting for the moon on this one. Missed all the stars completely, just came crashing back down to earth. But I hate mailing stuff back, so it's like, why did I even?
Yeah,
why did I take the chance?
That's the thing, right? Because I have that in me too, where I immediately take all the responsibility on myself, as opposed to, I'm like I'm sitting there like, you know what, a $3 shirt was unrealistic, Rod. Of course it didn't. Yes. Of course it has one sleeve. You should, now you hang that up in the closet of shame for another purchase that you made with a one sleeve shirt.
Be like, of course it cuts off and show your belly.
Yeah.
You only got $3 worth of shirt.
I didn't go to a tailor. I spent $4 on Amazon. I'm supposed to only get half a shirt.
You walking out there like Theo Huxtable when
I don't even leave a bad review. That's how bad it is. I take it all on me. It's right. Like I could warn the next person like, hey buddy, you're only gonna get half a shirt, but I'm like, you know what? You're doing the same thing I was doing. And you deserve half a shirt too. Yeah. That's how I learned. what all happened with Thug Passion Presents? Did you guys, I know you guys had done some stuff with Stitcher for a while.
We did three episodes of a podcast with Stitcher Premium.
Okay.
And so we brought in some people to do just the shows that we had done. And then we found a new venue and we did three more. And I will not speak disparagingly of the venue because I really like that venue, but I think in my heart we may have been too black for them. And that is that's going to be a hazard when you are talking about black movies with a mostly black group of comedians and then one token white. And so right now we're trying to, Courtney and I are trying to find a new spot because we want to, we're planning our John Singleton homage show.
Ah.
Because we want to do some scenes from some of his movies. Because two of the movies that we've done were John Singleton ones. Our very first one was Baby Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also later did Poetic Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we we were like, we gotta, when he passed away, we were both just like distraught, and we were like, okay, we have to do something. So we're working that, we're working out the logistics of that now, where we just pick out what, you know, scenes, and then we just kind of talk about his work and, yeah, all of his stuff.
Now, how can you tell y'all were too black for the venue? Like, what goes into being too, like, you were like, hold up. I don't know if this is our peoples here.
I mean, did y'all walk in there and they was like, whistle while you work? I was like, I don't think this is where we belong.
I figured that this was my opinion. Well, when I tried to reschedule another one, we had done three in this particular venue. When I tried to reschedule another one, at first we couldn't make contact to pick a date, and then I just never received answers, and like no one responded to the email, and I was like, all right, I kind of get it, because the neighborhood is what it is, but the other types of shows that are there are probably not that, because we were unapologetically black. And we not warned them, but we just kind of said, hey, this is like what we do. And the people who worked there enjoyed it or whatever. But, you know, if you have people who are walking up and they're like, so what's going on? Sometimes the door people had kind of a hard time explaining exactly, like, oh, they're going to deconstruct this movie.
Right.
And they're like, okay, what's the movie? And they're like, it's a movie called Belly. And they're like, I've never heard. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they was like pork belly? No. Wrong type of belly.
No. Like, yeah, exactly. So it was kind of hard to get folks to, like, walk in.
Yeah.
But I get it. I mean, it was real black, especially Belly. I mean.
Yeah, Belly, they don't get no blacker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not 100% sure black people knew what was going on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just kind of, it petered out at the end. God bless it. It is a beautiful movie.
Yeah,
beautifully shot.
Yeah, Hype Williams shot the hell out of that thing.
But at some point, we were like, oh, we're just going to have to play more clips from the movie towards the end because there's not much dialogue, because I think we just kind of ran out of time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the movie feels like it's like, and then they just took it to the church. And
right.
I'm like, okay, that's not, we can't end every movie like that, you know, like, take it to the Lord. I feel like.
And then Nas went to Africa. Not a country in Africa, not a specific city, Africa.
Just Africa. And then there was just a voiceover just like, ah, we're in Africa now.
Yeah.
Well, they're still playing Times Square because they couldn't get to Africa to shoot a shot. They made it to Jamaica fine.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get to Africa. I was like, you couldn't even get to a wooded area? Like,
oh yeah, I forgot all about the Jamaican excursion on that shit. That's like such a random 15-minute segment of the movie where you're just like, they wanted to do Jamaican Scarface so bad.
They really did. But that was in our production of it, that was kind of my favorite part, because I tried to make a point of picking at least one token white person to come in and do a part that I feel like that when I'm watching the movie, it feels like it matches the soul of the white person that I'm going to pick. And so for that one, for the Jamaican Kingpin, I picked my good friend Noah Garden Schwartz, which if you listened to his name, you could tell probably not a black guy.
Right.
Nope, just a big old Jewish man. And I was like, I feel like he can probably nail this part. And he was like, yes, absolutely. And then I got a message from him, and he was like, do I need to speak in a patois? And I was like, no. You don't have to do that.
Right.
But he was doing a weekend at a club in D.C., and he said he had time in the hotel room. So he learned the patois that would work best for him. And I know Noah, so I knew he would not. I mean, this was a guy who played, like, college ball at Emory. And, like, he knows the line he can walk.
Right.
And which is partially why I picked him. So he came, and we did a quick run through before the show, and he came, and it came up to his part, and he said his first line in this Jamaican patois that was so dead on and not at all disrespectful.
Yeah.
And we all fell out. Like, oh my God, how did you have that in you? And he was like, I just been practicing, man. I can't play this dude and not have the patois. I'm the only white person sitting up here. Why? What can I bring? I was just like, wow. All right.
I feel like that Jamaican dude in Belly was iconic just because that it felt like it was real Jamaican patois because I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Like, one single thing. Yeah. I didn't catch any of it until I read the words on a page. And even then, we had a hard time finding that script. So,
right.
You know, we just had to, we're like, oh, I hope this is, I mean, I guess it makes sense with the story. I guess that's what he's saying.
Yeah. It was like he was just mumbling about soccer. And I'm just like, I don't know. He's very upset with his team. That's what I do know. Yeah. He does not like the way the game is going, but I couldn't tell what the fuck he was talking about. And in contrast, like, I know it's a bad Jamaican accent when I can understand it. So when I like watch
Correct.
Luke Cage season 2, I was just like, oh, this is terrible. I know everything these guys are saying. It can't possibly be the authentic thing.
No, not at all. Yeah, there should be, I think, maybe a little bit of Spanish mixed in. I don't know. Yeah. Or maybe that's a different patois. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I truly don't.
And you, you said also you were, you've been in New York for 6 years. You did stand up for 10. Where did you mm-hmm. start?
I started in Atlanta.
Okay.
No doubt. So, yeah, that's where I grew up. I was actually born in Brooklyn, and then my family moved to Atlanta when I was like 8 or 9. So Atlanta is where I had most of my book learning. And so is where I grew up and I guess thrived to a certain extent. And yeah, so I started there just kind of like a bootleg bucket list kind of thing where I was just like, I've always wanted to do this. I wanted to do this since I was like 15, wow. but I didn't attempt it until I was 37.
Wow.
So, I'm a little slow to get motivated. And, I'll get there. Just give me a couple of decades. And, yeah. And so I started there and it's a great town. A great town, you know, the capital of a, of a state is a great town. And, yeah, it's my sister is still there, so I go back a lot. And the scene is wonderful there. And I was lucky, like just blessed enough to start with a lot of great people. So like Dulce Sloan and Rob Hayes and Noah, how I know him is from. And he writes for like Mrs. Maisel, like he writes for that show now. So he like Andy Samford's another person, and David Perdue, who's still down there, but is fantastic, just kind of leading the children. You know, they're all a little lost. We're all a little lost. And it's just fantastic people who are there. And we all kind of started and came up together and then just kind of scattershot hit the world.
Wow. That's a lot of talent coming out of there. And then also like that's a good scene too in Atlanta. But is it a thing where is Atlanta kind of just like anywhere else other than I guess LA and New York where even if you are blowing up there, you got to like leave and go to New York or LA?
Not necessarily. And I think that's because a lot of, like Atlanta's becoming just Southern Hollywood. So a lot of stuff is happening in Atlanta now.
True.
And if you are, if you have also decided if you want to attempt acting, you can do it in Atlanta. A lot of productions are there. And then if you're already there, that's just like a plus. So, so I think it's kind of making its way on the map as a place where you can maybe stay there for longer and still get work.
Oh yeah, that's true. Because like it feels like every show I see just now ends with that "Made in Georgia" thing at the end.
With the Peach, Marvelous shot there. The Walking Dead is shot there. Like every time you turn around, and they do like these long ass contracts too.
Yeah, everything Tyler Perry does is down there, and that's a lot of shit.
Yeah, got a whole ass studio.
Yeah. Yep. Damn, I didn't think about that.
So you can be there for a while and not even have like
an agent or a manager and still get on things.
Wow.
Just because, you know, there are people are, industry is there now. They're kind of out trying to see what Atlanta it has to offer. And you catch a few shows, you see some people and you're like, oh, okay. And you just kind of go from there. Casting agents are looking for folks there because it's easier than having to, you know, fly and pay for someone.
Right.
So it's just like, well, what's homegrown? What do we have here? And so, yeah, you could definitely do that there. I know right now, there are chunks of the comedy scene that were people who were in other cities and moved to Atlanta, you know, as like their, I don't want to say like their buffer, but definitely just like, let's go to Atlanta, for comedy and to, you know, try to get on and all that kind of stuff.
That's dope.
And, yeah, so it's definitely on the come up.
Yeah, between like Chicago, LA, New York, like we need to have a southern city that got some, you know, that's a hub too, and that's dope that Atlanta's become that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then also, where can they get the album? What can they expect from the new album? It's been 3 years since the last one. I really suggest people go listen to Stay Eating Cookies. Obviously it still holds up. It was only 3 years ago, but but like it's really good, and I think it'll like get people like really excited for the new album. So you just out here.
So this one is if I were to think of the theme of it, it's kind of in the title. The title refers to a moment I had with a woman at a grocery store, and I tell that story on the album. But I also realized when I titled the album that I say that I'm out here a lot. And to me, it just kind of means like there's so much going on, and I'm just out here trying to keep up. I'm trying to be like the best I can be, and I'm trying to adjust all the times, and while still being myself and not changing myself too much. But I can't really change myself because I'm too old. You know, I figured out the kind of person I am, and that's what I'm going to bring. And it's just like, yeah, I'm just here. So it's just like moments. It was kind of a tough time in between recording my last album and recording this one. In that time, I lost like both parents. Mm-hmm. And so I addressed that a little bit, and just trying to deal with some of the stuff that's happening, how I'm attempting to deal with it, which is kind of more of interest to me than the actual stuff. The way the world is right now is real bad, and it gets to me, and I try to see how other people are dealing with it. That's kind of my point of entry. Just like, wow, how are we all processing this? Because this is all nuts, and who would have thought in my lifetime I would see it. This is only the kind of thing that you heard stories about if you were lucky.
Right.
If you weren't lucky, then you're just, this is all shocking to you, and I am amazed that you were shocked. But, yeah. You know, I guess you just didn't have that elder to tell you what it was like.
Yeah, right.
So, and that's crucial. So that's kind of just making that adjustment, and also just making the adjustment of going from young to youngish to middle age. Like, oh, these are the things. These are things that you will encounter, kind of. And yeah, so that's kind of it. Just me trying to keep up with the world and not lose myself, but still be out here for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of what the album is about. And that all sounds mad heavy, but it is not.
If you guys haven't heard her stand up before, or also listen to Keith and the Girl, and she's been a guest on there, but you do have this like wonderful gift of being able to talk about like really serious heavy shit and still find like the laugh in it. You know, so it's like, you know, because obviously, you know, the loss of your parents, you know, obviously very sorry to hear that.
Same.
But then it's like, you're telling this story, and I'm like, man, it's so sad. And then she's just like, oh yeah, and then he was dating this person. And you're like, well, he was dating at this age. What was that like? And it's right. Like a whole nother tangent. And it's like, you know, but that's life stuff. And then also, I love hearing you talk about how, you know, knowing the kind of person you are is so like important, and I think it's easy to get lost these days with so many different influences, and we're all being inundated with like all this interaction with people. Like, you know, I think before social media and stuff, you interacted with people like in real life. Like if I had 10 friends and those 10 people were the people I interacted with. Now,
right.
You might, I mean, especially if you're like, you know, a person that is a creator, a talented person like yourself, you're seeing and interacting with way more people than you used to.
Yes.
And I think it's just easy to get lost in like the tide of, well, this is what everybody's on right now, this is what everybody's
right.
saying.
And everything's moving so quickly, so
right.
you think you've decided on a persona, and then you open up Twitter one day and it turns out that all has been canceled.
Yes.
And so right. you're like, oh, all right, well, I guess I don't do that anymore, and where do I, and I feel for anyone who is having to come up in this, because this is
yeah.
just
it's
wow,
a lot,
wow,
dog.
It's a lot.
Yes,
and this
it
and what's interesting is like at the core of it, humanity is always the same. So like, even with all the highfalutin words, and even with the social media like peer pressure and all these things, so much stuff is still kind of the same as it's always been, and people are still like, you know, hypocritical like they've always been. People are fickle like
right.
they've always been. But now it's just couched in these, in like a lot of different words. And more importantly, with social media, we now have like evidence, quote unquote. So it's like, you said a thing in 2008 and you don't
right,
feel that
exactly.
way anymore, but still you said it one time. Explain that now in 2019. So you have that element that I think wasn't there before. It used to be a time
yeah.
where it's like, well, that's just how we talked in 1995, but obviously I don't believe
now
that anymore.
Changed,
that shit
on.
Has changed now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah and I think about that a lot too, because a lot of people have grown up on internet.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of folks came to it later, like when it was new to the world, but they
right.
were, you know, a lot of older people who don't exactly know you know, how the young people are using it. So they're using it differently, and so then they get caught up on, oh, well, you said this and blah blah blah, and then no one wants to listen to your old ass anyway. It's a lot. It's
yeah,
so much. And it's just like, why, whoa, hold on, what, who are you, what kind of person are you, are
right.
you just, are you someone who, so I fully expect somebody to at some point go back and see something that I've said and go, well, you said this, and I'll just have to be like, I did, didn't I? What's the date on that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably how I felt right then. And
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Yeah. I'm sure that the way that you feel about this thing right now, if you make it to 47 and someone questioned you about something you thought like in your mid to late 20s,
yeah,
are you, yeah, like you gotta have some foresight, kid. I know you guys think no one under the age 28 should be on Twitter,
right?
But I'm like, give me a break.
What are you talking
about?
It's so funny too, because like ageism, like there was a big thing with like politics and ageism, right? Like there's a lot of like, I'm not voting for nobody over the age of blank. And I'm
right
and then I'm like, okay. And then you got older people that are like, you know, these young whippersnappers coming up, they don't know shit.
They don't know anything.
Right. And then like both groups are yelling at each other like, this is ageism. I'm like, both of y'all are ageist though. Like, you don't want, you won't vote for a person over this age. They don't want your young ass telling them what to do. You, like, can't y'all see y'all both have the same problem just from
right.
different angles? And it's almost impossible to get folks to agree on stuff like that. And, another thing like I realized like over the last few years, especially was, I know that for me personally, I'm more of a forgiving person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like people fuck up, but that's to be expected. I fuck up, you fuck up in a personal relationship, on the internet, celebrities, everybody fucks up at some point. Doesn't mean you forgive every fucking thing. Not everything's forgivable, but
right.
a lot of stuff is. Like there's a lot more stuff that I think is understandable than is not understandable, right? But
yeah,
on the internet it felt like that was out of style, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like
no one is forgiving anyone for
right.
anything, and
right.
I have to make a point, because I have to make a point to not hold
grudges.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, I have to initially go ahead and get mad
mm-hmm.
and just curse them up and down, high heaven, sure, all of that. And then I have to at least try, I'm trying to be smarter about just going, okay, well, like, yeah, you know,
right.
Now let it go. And, you know, that certainly was a mistake. And they, you know, so when I see something and someone outraged at something and I read whatever it was that people are outraged at, I now am getting better at just going, okay, but I see how they got there.
Right.
I see how they got there. Like, you can't, as it, when I see folks fighting over things that are very near and dear to their heart with someone, I often just think to myself, the way that you are defending yourself right now is the way they are defending yourself. Can they change your mind?
Right. Yep.
So what, why do you get so cocky to think that you can change their mind? All you can do is just attempt to come to some sort of understanding and maybe work through it that way if you have to work together. But just the screaming to be screaming
right.
is a lot. It's so noisy sometimes. It's so noisy.
It is. And then if you have the type of personality like me, I frustrate those people because I'm like, oh, I'm not arguing with you. And then they're like, I want to fight. Oh, well, I don't know
yes.
what to tell you because you're going to be fighting alone.
I will tap.
Like, I'm quicker to tap out, you know, because
yeah.
I like to have conversations. I don't like to have debates. And a lot of people
think nuance. I miss nuance.
Right,
yes.
right. And that's the
part. That's where I live, is in that gray area.
Same.
That nuance.
Right.
Like, let's discuss this.
Because everything isn't black and white. And everybody online asks, everything is black and white, right or wrong. I have to choose sides. If you don't choose my side, it's fuck you. If you don't choose my side, it's fuck you. And I'm like, well, in the reality, it's actually in the middle. And the people in the middle is going, oh, I understand both sides. And then both sides jump on them like they're being unrealistic for saying that, hey, y'all actually, if y'all actually talk and communicate with each other. But I think that for some people, the social part of social media is arguing. The
yeah.
social part of social
yeah.
media is not actually having a conversation, nuance, learning. Because initially, that's kind of what social media was. But then after a while, once people started making money and brands, I'm just keeping it real, and it started morphing into something nobody ever could have thought it was going to morph into. Now I have to stay on brand. Now I have to constantly keep this thing. Now I have these group of collective people that I've got together on this hate. So we got to hate everything now. And if you don't hate what I hate, or we not on the hate all these bitches club, you got to go. And so, you know, I've seen it just morph. And I think once you get older, and I've seen it with some of my friends online, I seen them argue. Them niggas got old and they was like, the fuck is this? And they tapped out. I was
yeah.
like, yes, as you get older, you will tap out of that bullshit.
Yeah, it's wasted energy.
Yeah, you
right.
You don't have time. I had this tweet go viral early this year about the whole blackface situation
mm-hmm.
in Virginia, I think it
was. Oh yeah, the governor was blackface, and then the
everybody was trash. Yeah.
mm-hmm.
it was like the governor was blackface, the lieutenant governor was a rapist, and then like the
right.
dude that was below
that
both of them he was like, I also like blackface, like goddamn.
Yeah, it was just like 1, 2, 3, just horrible. And so I tweeted out this thing that was like, when we said more black faces in government, we should have been specific. And so it got huge. But what it also did, because there was no clear point on it,
yeah.
I got like lots of liberals who got it, but then I got a lot of conservatives because some major conservative guy tweeted it out.
Right.
And so I got a lot of conservatives who liked it and retweeted it. And then, but they had their own take on it.
Right.
And they were like, see, this is what's wrong. See, this person gets it, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
I was just sitting there just like, wow, I just wrote a joke and both sides are agreeing with the joke for completely different reasons.
Yes.
And I have no idea the other is doing it, and I'm just sitting here watching it just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, this is wild.
It's crazy because when you're finding the joke in something, sometimes mm-hmm. sometimes a joke doesn't have a like aside. You know what I mean? Like, the side is funny.
Right.
That was the thing. Funny. I just made a funny observation about the thing, and it's universal that we all can agree on it. But, like, the internet does have sides. So it's like they take the joke and they're like, see, this happens to me anytime I make a political joke. I get these fucking people that follow me, and sometimes it's a lot of people. And I'm like, oh, you guys don't know. I'm gonna lobby Love and Hip Hop in an hour. Like, this is like, I don't actually care about this shit, you know? But they'll be like, oh, this guy right here, he gets it. He took Biden down. We gotta share this on the blogs. I'm like, I don't care. I would vote for Biden. If he make it out, I'll vote for his ass for sure. So y'all can laugh at the joke, but that's it, you know?
Yeah, that's what was going on. So I got like all of these followers where I'm just like, ooh, I mean, I don't necessarily get political or anything like outwardly, but I also speak as a liberal middle-aged black woman.
Right.
So I'm just, that is just have some opinions on white people, and I'm just going to speak as if you all know that, right? You see my picture. You've probably seen some of my other tweets. Hey. This is what I do. And so, like, I don't know. Some of y'all are going to drop out. I think that was like my next tweet was just like, hey, I'm going to disappoint a lot of y'all.
That's what I'm
watching. And I'm like, hey, and that's just how that's going to be. But man, is this, this has been a fascinating day.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel when that happens. Like, if I live tweet the debates or something, I'll get all these followers that are like super political. And I don't follow them back because I'm like, there's 0% chance that you're not going to get sick of my shit.
And
like,
follow me.
Like, I'm like, the next joke is not going to be like, I don't know what the next joke is going to be, but it might be about porn or some shit. Like, you might not, like, the next joke could be about any fucking thing. And so I'm not the new political hot take person, and I don't want to be on political TV shows and shit.
Absolutely not. I am definitely, like, I may retweet the porn store I worked in. So, like,
right.
I don't know. Yeah, so if you're all God and country, you may want to just wait on that. Just like it, you know?
I made a screenshot. A long time ago, I made a joke about Bernie Sanders because they kept saying he was black. He was so much blacker than all of us when we were like, we never heard this dude about 5 or 6 years ago. And then they were like, he marched with King. And so I made a joke like, Bernie's so black. He, you know, and it was like, he know how to play spades. He do, you know, all this shit.
Right.
I got so much attention from like white media people. Like, can you come on and talk about the black vote and how, what are black people thinking right now when they go to the polls? And I'm like, I don't know any of that shit.
It was a joke.
You should talk to an expert, not a guy with a podcast. Expert. It was a joke. Like,
people that have studied this field.
They wanted, at one point I got offered to run a Bernie Sanders Reddit page right. I was going to be verified, and then I was supposed to like explain to these white people how to get the black vote. Of course I declined. They were like, but you can be verified on Reddit. I was like, you're just offering me work. I don't like, that's a job. I don't want to do that shit.
Yeah. Also, you know, God bless all Reddit users.
Mm-hmm.
Bless the beast and the children.
Yes.
But what does that do to my rent?
Come on.
To be verified on Reddit.
Not what a damn thing.
If I say that to my landlord, will he go, all right, I'll go ahead and knock a couple of hundred off? Like, no.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know I had a celebrity.
You verified on Reddit? Hold up, y'all. Hey, hold up. We got an influencer in the building, guys. Let's go ahead and get the cameras out.
Mm-mm, they're going to be like, influence that rent. Come on.
Oh, man. All right.
That means nothing. What does that mean for my blood pressure?
Oh,
man.
Right.
Come on.
Like,
and then like the thing they wanted me to do was gonna be explaining to white people how black people think about voting all day. I was like, that sounds terrible. That sounds like I wouldn't do that for money.
that's a trap. And I am sadly, I am a more sympathetic for not to white people at all.
Right.
I don't give them any sympathy at all.
Right.
But I have a thing, like when someone says something nuts, when a white person says something nuts, whereas everyone else will be like, do your Googles. Mm-hmm. I mean, not online. I don't jump in and explain anything online. It has to be a face-to-face conversation because there's nuance and I need to explain that to them.
Right.
But I am probably more, I certainly was more likely to be like, well, no, but this is what is happening. This is why this reaction and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I really have it in me like I did once before, but I mean, you know, that's a thing that I'm struggling with that I'm sure I'll be called out for also is just being sympathetic to the white gaze and how I'm trying to not, you know, my parents didn't want me to be that way, but because I'm a contrary bitch, I was.
You know what though? But you know what? So I'm a Libra and I feel like it's that scales thing for me where, I can kind of see from both perspectives. And then I think, also, and it was probably a side effect of my parents raising me reading all this like black literature and shit, but the more you read about racism in America, the more you realize that white people are victims of racism as well.
Yes, they are.
Even though they're not equal partners in victimhood. Like, white people's complicity is mostly from them being stupid. And there's like a elite class of white people that like propagate it and benefit from it and make money from it.
Yes.
And then there's a whole bunch of white people that think they benefit from it that don't get shit. Like that, like they're sitting up there like, those niggers won't get the vote and get the union together, and then nobody's gonna get wages that raise together. So fuck those niggers. As long as I'm doing better than them, I'm like, but now you broke.
Yeah.
So
like, can't nobody make no money now.
Right. We both can't afford the bread. Like what's happening right now? But so there is like stuff that white people are indoctrinated into that I think as black people, we obviously don't have a lot of sympathy for the shit because it's like that stuff you're indoctrinated into affects our lives. But at the end of the day, objectively, they still are indoctrinated. So they're just like, they're just as stupid. Actually, they're stupider. That's not a word, but they're more stupid than us. They're more stupid than us because they actually grow up believing a lie and find no reason not to believe the lie. We as black people, obviously, are immediately awakened.
We see the lie.
We're like, but I'm not stupid and you keep calling me stupid. They don't understand. So there is a level of sympathy
that
there.
That reminds me, did you see all of the stuff about white people leaving reviews for going on plantation tours?
Yes.
And that has been killing me for like 3 or 4 days. It's the only thing that's kept my spirits up. I'm just like, let me get this straight. Y'all paid money and went to a plantation just to see the furniture? Like, what are you? How?
You can search that online.
And the plantation was one, like, I believe that tour was started because they wanted to highlight the slave life of, like, it was specifically like, we will be talking about slavery.
Oh, so right, when you read the pamphlet, it's like, slavery, 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 slavery. They was like, oh, slavery, let me check this out. Yeah. It was like, oh.
Yeah, I think, so like, there's two schools of thoughts within blackness when it comes to racism mostly, right? There's white people do this stuff on purpose and they're really terrible and they're always thinking of ways to be racist towards us. And that is true in some cases and whatnot, but I don't subscribe to that normally. What I mostly subscribe to is that they're so ignorant from being indoctrinated and believing these lies. They like to us on its face is not even, it's so ridiculous we laugh at it, but like white people really do believe there's nice slave owners. Right. They believe like there's a nice way to have a slave.
A nice way to own some fucking body.
Yeah, I'm just like, you don't even, like, just the definition of slave doesn't give you pause. Instead, it makes you want to go to where they, it just, people, and then, of course, like, the tour, various tour guides were like, oh, yeah, no, this is all the time. I can't tell you how many times I have to say, like I'm asked, but, I mean, these slave owners were nice, right? Like, the slaves appreciated, like, right? I mean, like, they weren't that bad. That's, what are you talking about?
They're always,
so I'm just like, what is this world where you never got any of this? Like, not just on a cursory level, just a basic slave owner to slave relationship understanding level. Why would you think that? Well, I mean, the ones in the house were probably happy. Right? Like, what is this? And I mean, like, I just couldn't stop laughing. And I was like, this isn't funny. but
yeah,
it is,
but
hilarious.
It is
right.
I went, we go, one of my favorite things to do for vacation is to go down to Charleston, South mm-hmm. Carolina, and we go down to Charleston, and then I always take the Charleston tour. They have these horse carriage tours, and you're on a wagon with like probably 10-12 people. I love that shit because the tour guys always have to talk about how much slavery was part of Charleston's economy.
And all I saw, they white, and all I saw, they blink, and they face, they be like, look, yes, the slave was over here. You look up there at the ceiling was blue, and this is why. You look out there, that's where the jail was, and there's still people down there buried in the ground, like, and they blink twice. I mean, they don't blink twice. They're like very straightforward with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I love it. And I actually spend more time watching the other passengers
right.
in the thing.
Oh, for sure.
Because they're the ones who are like, wait, that can't be right. So they were just burying slaves in the backyard because they got sick, and now they didn't
correct.
Even put gravestones down.
Nope.
And I'm just up in the front, like asking questions to keep them going. Like, now tell them about the prison and the conditions in the prison. Didn't that used to be a Civil War camp where they used to keep the black slave, they like wouldn't feed them? Yeah, you go ahead. No, I'm cool. I'm gonna sit in the back and watch.
I know, they'd be like, yes, I'm glad you asked her. And then they go on with it. And,
oh my God.
And for me, it's a learning experience because I'm not from, like, you know these things, but for me, particularly like one of the first times we went, we got to go like, where they actually auctioned off the slaves and mm-hmm. go through that. So I learned, and there's some other things that around Charleston that I want to see too. But for me, it's a learning experience. Like, you know, but you don't know.
Yeah, I was taking care of, like, because I had been before, so it's like I was doing my own slavery tour with Karen. No, you got to see what they sold the slaves, baby. Come on, we're going down to Market Street. You know, it was so, I was like, oh, this, they call it the antique district, but I call it the slave district. Let's go over here and see the auction block real quick. Like, it was so.
Yeah, there's a huge placard that's up by South City Seaport, or South Street Seaport here in New York, like in the lower Manhattan, very lower, right by the water. And there's a huge placard that's just like, yeah, this port is where they brought in like slaves, mm-hmm. just like right across the street there. And I'm just sitting here and I'm watching all these Wall Street people just like walk by, and
yes.
I'm like, hey, anybody see this?
Right.
You know, where you guys are going to pay for like $7 matcha or whatever? Right. Yeah, slaves came in, like right over there.
Oh, you mean that's where the happy singing slaves hopped off the boat, like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air?
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like these cobblestone streets that you guys are struggling to cross, they have felt a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. With no shoes.
Being dragged.
Come on.
Yeah.
But hey, what do I know? Here's a little placard for you.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Huge. And I wouldn't have seen if I hadn't stopped. And I was like, well, what the fuck? How? And
right.
then I'm just looking around at everybody just enjoying this.
It's all around us.
Right. And
it's everywhere.
And you're making me think, probably even here in the city of Charlotte, I wonder how many of these things are like around people's cities and they walk past them, or streets are named certain things and you don't even know why the street is
named that. I've been wanting to take a tour of our city on one of these weekends just to
do
the bus tour, because I know it's got to be mad shit around here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't even know it's fucked up until you hear it in the news and they're like, some protesters took down the statue of this Confederate senator that was in the middle of downtown Charlotte. You're like, when the fuck was what? Like, is that what that was?
Right.
Like I thought that was just a dude who opened the bank. I didn't know.
That's the date. One day I want to do that, because even the Charlotte is named after a queen. I mean, even Charlotte
named after Queen,
queen
Charlotte.
Wait, Queen Charlotte. I learned that recently.
Right.
I just thought it was just Charlotte, North Carolina. The fuck was that? How was I supposed to know? It's Charlotte since I've been born.
All right, we've been talking a lot and we've been having a great time. Okay, I haven't gotten to any of the news, any of this stuff. I might even just skip the news. Let me see what this news is about before I say that. Was there anybody I want to talk about? Oh yeah, the Epstein dude died. He was like supposed to be in suicide watch, and then he died of an apparent suicide. I guess somebody forgot to check the room or whatever.
Also, now it's coming out that the cameras were malfunctioning. I can't believe how much people in government really just want to be living in thrillers. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like people, some people in government are in there, they've got their power and their money, and then they literally are just taking moves from like the Godfather. You know what I mean? Like they don't know, they're just like, what would Carlito do? Like they have no, I'm like, you, come on, there are so many things. With this one, I don't even know where, like, pick your poison.
Yeah.
What conspiracy theory do you feel like living with forever?
I've seen, my favorite one is the Hillary Clinton and them killed them. Cause like, if Hillary Clinton could just kill motherfuckers, she would have been president.
Come on.
Exactly. What are we talking about? I'm like, why is she also, I was just like, why are we all hopping on this, on the Clinton one? And I'm like, why is she also always killing for her man?
Right.
Like, that bitch got ambition. She got mad ambition, but the only time she's killing is to cover bills.
And honest, let's be real. If she was killing motherfuckers, she just kill him. Like, that's much easier than trying to get rid of all these scandals. Like, let me just kill this motherfucker because you're the only one causing scandals around here.
All the problems.
Jesus. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so who knows if he actually killed himself? Because when the first attempt happened, I decided I was going to live with the fact that it was an attempt so that he could try to get home, because even though they probably went through his house, there's probably a board somewhere that has a duffel bag that has a shit ton of money and a passport that they didn't catch. And all he needed to do was show that he was unstable. His lawyers could get him to do a house whatever, and then he find that, go on and grab his super special duffel bag and then just be gone to whatever island it is that like Roman Polanski and all of them are on. And so that's what I decided. I was like, you know what, that's going to be my theory. I'm going to go with that. So then for this to happen, I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess people could have killed him. I guess maybe he thought he really couldn't get off. But I don't know about that because he seemed pretty damn cocky.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
what?
People really thought he like escaped too.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, why not? I mean, hell.
Yeah.
Cameras didn't work. His cellmate was a former cop. Like, who knows? Yeah. Sometimes they used inmates instead of correction officers to do the watches. I'm like, oh, Lord, oh, wow. It's all a mess. I can't. And that's just what I've seen just from looking at Twitter for an hour and then going, I can't have this on my soul today.
Oh, yeah. That's the other part. I don't even know which part of this is true because, like, I have retweeted a dude that said the cameras didn't work, and then my girl Ray Sani hit me up and was like, oh yeah, that's not true. I'm like, okay, I actually delete, I don't know anything. I'm just here for the mess. Y'all let me know when it's over, and then I will just hop in because I don't want to play the conspiracy theory game that he's living on Pedophile Island because he escaped with El Chapo. I don't know the rules.
Yeah, I don't know the rules either. Like a supervillain. Nobody, no death, no the comic book rules. I don't know. So
yeah, like we're going to get to see his autopsy pictures. I don't know what's happening, guys. But and then the other thing I keep hearing people is like, think about what he was going to say in court, all the people he was going to talk about. I'm like, guys.
He was
going to lie. He was going to lie.
He's going to lie.
That's what.
He absolutely was going
to
lie.
That's what rich white pedophiles do, y'all. They don't go to court and be like, well, now that I'm here, I thought about it in my cell, and I'm going to actually tell y'all the truth and tell you everybody that was involved. That they lie in prison. That's how he got there, guys. He's a criminal. He was not telling people the plan.
I you know, I guess the most upsetting thing is that it's all extremely upsetting. But to see that Matt Groening's name was in the documents that were released the day before.
Dude from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
No! What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm like, we really kind of glossing over this for Bill Clinton. I mean, we already knew Clinton was a freak. But let's talk about Matt Groening, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know other names. I want to see all the names. But I don't have the time to go looking at all that tiny print on my phone.
That's also on me, right? Because they have said, oh, now that he's dead, they unsealed these documents from the old case. And, guys, there's so much stuff in here. And I clicked on it. It was like, 200 pages PDF. I said, no. I'll wait till somebody skims this. I'll wait till Don Lemon gets through this.
I'll let y'all give me the cliff notes after y'all finish.
Rachel Maddow, do your thing, girl. Do your thing.
Right, exactly. Give me the short version.
Oh God. Well, our republic is doomed, guys. Cause I actually do care, but I didn't care. And I was like, reading? Mm-mm. I got other books to read. Saint Harry Potter. All right. I think that was the main death thing that happened. And then there's an ongoing thing that me and Karen been talking about on the show a little bit. But, Atlanta, shout out to Shalom. They have banned e-scooters at night because four people have died on these things.
Let me tell you something about these damn scooters. All right, I mean, I wasn't there. Ain't no one asked me about it if I thought it was a good idea. It is, okay, Atlanta, for all of its big city talk, is not 100% welcoming to pedestrians.
Right.
There are large areas. I mean, Atlanta's very spread out, and the city itself, like the Midtown area where they want all the money to be, they've got some sidewalks. But then you get just barely out of it, and not even, I mean, like, still in the city, maybe just south, no sidewalks. You're just kind of like, here's a little strip of hard dirt. And so where are these scooters? Like, where, if you aren't good to pedestrians, how are you going to be good to a faster pedestrian?
Right.
And then they just, like,
because the drivers are mad at cyclists. I've seen drivers like speed up trying to be aggressive with people on bikes. So now you got someone with nothing on, like, they're just visiting the city and they're
no
just
helmets
around. Nothing.
Yeah,
you know, right. They just have a credit card and a zest for life. And now
you're in the tank and you're trying to take them out. It makes no sense.
Yes. So that alone is ridiculous. And then they're dockless. So my roommate Kevin explained it best. He also lived in Atlanta for a while, and he said that the whole city looks like kids just abandon their toys in the front yard.
Yes, we surround Charlotte, like, too.
Yeah, they have it here like that too. They just leave them wherever they're like. They just like it just be the middle of the fucking sidewalk. They just like throw it down. And go to the next thing. And you can be like drunk on these motherfucking things.
Right.
There's no test for that. Like, it's crazy. And, then they have rules, right? But no one's enforcing the rules. So it's like, hey, you can't have a kid under 16 on this without like permission from the parent or a guardian with them.
Like, really?
Right. You can't have two people on it at the same time. You can
breaking all the rules.
Right. I see all these violations all the time.
Flip flops on.
And I've been telling Karen for a long time, I'm like, someone's gonna fucking die on this shit.
And it's gonna be some lawsuit.
And now it's like four people died, and the only solution that the Keisha Bottoms, mayor of Atlanta, was like, all right, guys, no more nighttime riding. Like, okay.
And how you going to enforce that?
Yeah, right. How you going to stop it?
I mean, because you don't lock them up. You don't put them in anything. So how are you going to even – that's not going to be it. Also, that's when the homeless guys use it the most. I watch homeless guys harass a dude off of it. And then just take off on it. And I was like, well, it's a city. Like,
there's 12,000 of these, by the way. There's 12,000 scooters in Atlanta. They're considering banning new permits. But see, I bet you the city makes the money off the permits. And then, of course, the scooters make money hand over fist off of the people putting their credit card information in. So why, there's really no incentive to regulate it. Whenever they're out of the zone where the scooters are, they get like a small fine, but the fine pays for itself. It's better to just let people leave the shit wherever they want and then just pay the fine if you're one of these companies. And now you have people dying. It's kind of ridiculous.
And then we read where the city had a flood, and now they
Was DC. They had a flood, and because none of the scooters are actually docked, they were just every fucking where.
And that's gonna happen across the country.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you get a flood, you look outside, you like on the south side, nowhere near downtown, and fucking scooters are floating past.
And motherfuckers don't even get vaccinated no more. Right? This is just a crime. This is just terrible. That's all I got to say.
Anything that
starts with some dude who works in tech just dropping off something in the dead of night and then running away from it is not good. Like, why is that how you bring it to us? Because I distinctly remember the day that they were dropped off in Atlanta. I mean, I was still here in New York, but all my friends on Facebook were like, what the fuck are these? And, you know, just suddenly, like, you see one person scooting around, and then, like, 3 days later, all these people are all over the place using them where they're not supposed to be used. Mm-hmm. And then other companies opened up and did it. And I was just like, this is a little insane. And I still hadn't seen them. And then I went down, I'm like, oh, well, I don't really see them everywhere. And then I turned a corner, and suddenly I'm in the city, and places where people should be walking are just littered with these.
Yeah.
The guy who came up with it didn't think ahead, because he thinks he's helping, I don't know, transportation. None of the tech guys really think of real world.
Right.
Users.
And it's
problem is that they think they've got this bright idea and that they're going to change the world. And they don't think anything through, or they get information that it's like, that's probably not a good idea, but their egos won't let them stop.
It's that Jurassic Park thing. Like, you remember Jurassic Park with Jeff Goldblum's, like, they were so busy thinking about if they could, they never stopped to think about if they should. That's
right.
That's
exactly.
Pretty much all venture capitalists, like, tech bro shit. Yeah. It's like, oh man, we could make a thing where you can just hop on a scooter, cost you a couple of dollars, and now you can, like, bar hop all night, bro. And they're like, high five, and then, like, four people die, and they're like, oh yeah, that's right. The whole, like, no safety regulations thing.
Yeah. Because my thing with this,
and they just did that with mopeds here in New York, so
great. Wow. What are you gonna say, Karen?
No, because a lot of cities, like, they started off with, like, the bikes, but with the bikes you have to dock those,
yeah, like city
and
bikes
so
and stuff, you have
why
to
won't
them.
You put that same regulation on this other ship?
Yeah
I don't know what makes it. I don't know why they thought that would make it. I mean, like, people, I'm just like, just build docks. People are trying to figure out other ways that they can get. I'm like, just make docs. Make you have to lock it into a thing. Make people somewhat accountable. Because if you don't make anyone accountable, people in general are terrible. And why would you? You know what I mean? Like, of course, if you can get away with it, you're going to try. You know, just leave it. And then I did read about these two guys who have a company where they will impound those scooters. I think they're in California, though. Mm-hmm. But only if, because, like, private companies are tired of people leaving those things, like, in their parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And them having to deal, you know, just them piled up on their company. So if it's left on private land, they call these two guys. The guys will impound them and then will charge whatever company owns the scooters, you know, a very low fee to come pick them up, you know. But, of course, that fee will add up because there are so many of them left. And they're not just taking it off of public land. It's, you know, the proprietor of that land is like, get this shit off my property.
Right.
And so they do. I mean, and I was like, I really, you know, I mean, to be a repo man for an electric scooter is a very 2019 thing to say.
Yeah.
Right. Because you don't got to deal with nobody. Won't nobody be there.
We actually met one of those guys. Remember when we were in Arizona on that layover and taking us on the shuttle bus back to the airport? He was so excited to tell us about how he makes money picking up and recharging those scooters that get left all over town. It's like, he made it sound like it was lucrative or whatever.
It probably
was. Oh, yeah. No, so that's the other thing is there are the recharging people who will pick them up and recharge them and you get paid per scooter or something. Mm. But these guys will pick them up and just impound them. So they're not getting charged at all. So now they're dealing with people who like to charge them up, breaking into their lots to grab them, to take them home and charge them up.
Holy
like,
shit.
Like, these impound dudes are getting it from the scooter companies who suddenly don't want to pay these fines anymore, are saying you're holding our items hostage, and from the people who want to charge them up and make money. So, like, they're getting it from both sides, and they're like, look, we're not breaking the law.
People are
leaving it on private property.
Right.
Maybe if you built some docks, you wouldn't have these complaints.
Right.
But the companies don't care about the complaints from actual business owners. They just want to
I don't know. They just want the world to burn, I guess. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, they're making money hand over fist, and if the incentive to regulate it is simply a fine that you can afford, no one gives a fuck. Like,
nobody
I think it was Detroit. Yeah. I forget which city we talked about. I think it was Detroit, but it was a city where they were like, we're gonna fine these guys, and we're reading our article like, yeah, that maybe that'll get them to clean it up. It's like, so we fined each company $500. I was like, oh, they don't give a fuck about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, y'all pick that shit up then. That's a $500 cleanup fee. I can't get better than that. You guys take that.
Yep. And my thing is, do you ever, which, America, do you think it'll ever be a city be like, we gonna ban these bitches until
it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Like, a city is gonna be like, we will not offer one fucking permit here.
I don't know how much, death it's gonna take, but it will happen. It'll happen. Cause,
yeah,
something bad is gonna happen.
I think they want to bring those scooters to New York, which is insane because everyone walks everywhere. I don't even know how people are riding bikes in this city.
Right?
I understand mopeds because that still keeps with traffic, but those scooters, you got to be kidding me. So I think they want to bring that here, and I feel like this may be the place where folks are like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
We don't have time for this. We don't have time for a child with a toy scooter.
A child is going to get killed on one of these things, and that's probably what's going
to
stop it.
And you know what? Like I said, I'm not from New York, but just listen to people from New York. Not only are you going to have random people like me gazing, taking pictures, now you're going to have random people on scooters gazing, taking pictures while y'all trying to go wherever the fuck you're going.
I'm in Times Square.
And the people are going to be like, move it, bitch, and they're going to bump one of them off.
Excuse me, I'm on Instagram live on my scooter real quick. I'm going live. Hey, y'all, it's your boy.
Right, and in the background, somebody going to kick their ass off. Move it, I'm going to my C-train.
All
right,
we got to start wrapping up. Let's get to our games, play the Guess the Race with Shalewa. We sing the theme song to the game, but when it's on Skype, you won't be able to hear the music. So if you don't hear anything for like 25 seconds, that's just us singing singing the song. So,
yes.
All right, here we go. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. We ask our contestants today, Shalewa Sharp, comedian, Aaron, and the chat. And they all are these guys. All right, we will play the game, but just keep in mind, everyone's a little bit. All right. The first article I read that you'll have to play Guess the Race of happens in Atlanta.
Oh shit.
Small world, guys. A worker threatened to shoot everyone at Atlanta Braves Stadium. A man who worked at Atlanta Braves Stadium threatened to shoot everyone there and blow up the 41,000 seat ballpark. Jamar Antonio Golfin.
Oh shit.
30 years old, was charged with a single felony count of making terroristic threats or acts after storming off during a break early Friday while cleaning a seating area of SunTrust Park before the Braves hosted the Cincinnati Reds later that evening. Goffin, who was hired as a temporary employee, then tore into his supervisor and a Braves security guard as he was asked to leave the stadium, threatening to kill them all and promising to come back and shoot everyone there. Goffin also vowed to come back and blow up the place. He was taken into custody on Saturday by deputies in Cobb County. He remains in custody as of Thursday on $16,720 bail. According to jail records, which didn't and could not comment on the allegations, a spokeswoman for the team told the newspaper that Goffin has been hired by a third-party vendor and was no longer employed by that firm. Authorities in Cobb County responded to a threat at the stadium on Friday, but police spokesman declined to confirm whether that was the same threat. And bomb detecting dogs regularly sweep the park, so after every public event, before every public event, so there was no actual bombs. Guys, guess the race of Jamar Antonio Golfin. Karen?
Black.
Karen's going with black. Shalewa?
I'm going with white.
Karen, okay, Shalewa's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. These racists. 30 years old, but still hasn't quite given up on his rap career.
Oh no.
Gonna say the black on that one. Jamar Antonio, damn, I bet what he said was, I'll blow this motherfucker up. black. he was tired of cleaning all that shit by himself. Black. Blacks for Trump, black. Black sounds like money talks plot. Oh, okay, that's not race. Works at the stadium but couldn't name a single Braves player. Black.
oh no.
Black and now can't pay child support and fuck this job. I didn't come to work to do work. Bernie Mac voice, black. The correct answer is, and a lot of you guys went black on that one. Shalay was the only one who went white, I believe. The blacks mm-hmm. have it. He was black.
Really?
Yep.
Man, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's so much.
That whole, blow this shit up, shoddy up in here.
That's so white. Also, I know that stadium is really new and they moved it. It was such an obvious white flight move that I was like, I'm sure they have black people working there, but they probably would only tolerate someone talking that much and saying that much shit if it was one of their white employees that they'd have to bring on just to make the people who now go to Braves games feel comfortable, because that's why they had to move it from downtown, because people felt uncomfortable.
That's what I heard. I heard it's in Cobb County because it's basically white flight. Like,
yeah, it was the most. And the Braves went with white flight. The Hawks went with embracing the black fans, and you know it showed in those particular seasons.
now, for me personally, I do feel like it's a very black crime, because I've been in several places where a black man threatened to shoot everybody up, and then they always add, and I'll blow this motherfucker up, and it's like, you don't have any of the materials for that.
Like, no, not on hand, no.
Like, you might have a gun, you definitely do not have a bomb level stuff. Like, and then the other reason I knew he was black is because he got arrested. You know, with white dudes, they wait till after you shoot the place up, and then they're like, oh, this motherfucker had a whole manifesto. He said he was gonna blow this place up.
Right. Yeah, he already had it on his schedule. He had it on his calendar.
Now that he killed 21 people, guys, I think this motherfucker is crazy.
Yeah, we checked his phone and his calendar email reminder came up shooting motherfuckers today.
Right. Black dude just be like, I'm gonna shoot everybody at the basketball court. Cops, police, come on down, come and get him. He say he's gonna shoot somebody. All right, let's go to the second one. A man in body armor and armed with a rifle sparks panic at a Missouri Walmart. Yeah, that's right. A man in his 20s was reportedly walking around armed and recording video. Though there was no shooting, it caused a panic after two mass shootings, one that happened at a Walmart. The armed man who walked into a Missouri Walmart store dressed in body armor and fatigues was detained at gunpoint by an off-duty firefighter. And he is lucky he's still alive considering the situation he created, said a police official. No shots were fired in the incident that happened just after 4 p.m. Thursday in Springfield, Missouri. A city of around 160,000 people in the southwestern part of the state. A man who was said to be in his early 20s was detained by an armed firefighter until police arrived. Blah, blah, blah. Y'all said that already. Police were called about an possible active shooter, and the store manager pulled a fire alarm and told people to evacuate. He walked in there heavily armed with body armor on and military fatigues and caused a great amount of panic inside the store. His reasoning was he wanted to test his Second Amendment rights, by the way. It was not clear the open carrying of firearms is legal in Missouri as long as the weapon is not displayed in a threatening manner. Though police did not name the person, his name is Dmitry Adrechenko. He's 20 and he got arrested. It's interesting, right? Because technically he didn't break any laws.
Mm-mm.
But he was arrested and was charged with, I think felony, like inciting some shit.
Probably inciting a riot.
Yeah, some shit.
Oh, okay.
So guess the race. What the fuck is his name? Dmitry Adrechenko.
White.
Karen's going with white on this one, all right?
Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely. That's Dmitry that ends with an I. Yeah, that's white.
Okay, and let's check the chat room, see what they believe. I need an AR-15 on my back to do my weekly shopping white. working class patriot who we just have to understand.
that
white privilege didn't get shot. We don't test out rights. We scream, I know my rights. Woefully, wifely white. He's a damn Russian bot come to life white. I can't stand white people. Paper exercising his right. White black folks exercise their rights and leaving the house every day. It looks like everyone said the same thing, and guys, you all got it. He was white.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Also, like, exercising his, you know, when you bring out that Second Amendment line, I'm like, come on. What? No one wants your guns.
That's 100% like white people shit to say. My Second Amendment, only them, and then like Killer Mike. Like, those are only black people I know that consistently talk about the Second Amendment. Is Killer Mike and then a bunch of white people. That's it. All right, we're about to get cut off on the regular feed, so I'm gonna go to the next session for everybody live in the chat. We'll be right back, and then in the meantime, Karen, I will sing the song for the bonus round of Guess the Race.
Okay.
So far, Karen is 2 for 2.
Can y'all believe it?
very rare 2 for 2 for Karen. And Shalewa is 1 and 1.
I just don't trust white people.
Yeah. Shalewa's like, listen, I don't know the right answer, but I do know you can't trust these white folks, okay? And then I forgot to invite everybody over. Hold on, Karen, I gotta figure out how to do this real quick. There's gotta be a button for this. Matter of fact, let me pause so the people don't hear this part.
It is.
Alright, cool. Alright, we're gonna sing the bonus round song now, and once again, Shalewa, you might not be able to hear anything on your side for about 15-20 seconds, but it's just us singing the song, so here we go. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2, and Shalewa was 1 and 1. But now everything's worth double the points, so we'll find who the real winner is. All right. Are you guys nervous going into the bonus round here?
I still feel comfortable with my distrust of white people, so.
Okay. All right.
I'm a little bit.
Okay.
She might fuck around and win. You know me, y'all.
A hapless bank robber used the man note that has his name and address written on the back.
What?
I want no mysteries, okay? Let's just get this solved as quickly as possible. An Ohio man has been arrested after he walked to a local bank and passed him a note demanding money to the bank teller, but it also had his name and address written on the back. Surveillance footage shows 54-year-old Michael Harrell walking into a U.S. bank in Cleveland wearing a ball cap and doing the bare minimum to conceal his identity.
The bare minimum.
Yeah, the baseball cap was actually to the back. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he didn't turn
it. It wasn't even over his face. Yeah.
No mask, no nothing.
He then handed a note to the teller that read, "This is a robbery. Don't get nobody hurt." But on the other side of the note, Harold actually assisted authorities in catching him by making no effort to hide his name and address.
Was it something he was like, wrote on it and was like, you know what, I'm a hold this in case I forget where I stay?
I don't know. When the teller took the note and looked at it and looked at the other side, she saw his name. He had used a note that he had used earlier at the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles, and it had his name on it. The FBI agent Vicky Anderson explained to WJW. The teller gave Harold $206 before calling the police and providing them with the man's information. She told authorities that Harold was a regular at the bank and would often come in and request cash advances.
Oh, so everybody knew who he was.
This is the worst robbery I've ever heard of my life.
I come in every Friday for my money.
You knew it was bad when he came up to the teller with the note and she was like, Michael? Are you sure you want to do this?
Wow.
The teller even referred to the man by his name when handing him the money. Oh! Oh, when the jokes come true. Wow.
I mean, you may as well.
here you go, Mr. Harrell, you have a nice day. It's unclear exactly when Harrell was arrested, but Anderson said she believed Harrell was arrested on Tuesday. Yeah, I feel like that's one where the cops don't even have to get around to it right away. They're like, we'll get them. Yeah. Get them after lunch, man. Anderson did highlight that Harrell's bad luck actually happens to others more times than not. We've had individuals drop things on the way out the door that they didn't intend to. Obviously, we've had individuals drop cell phones that they have all their identifying information on it, she added.
Wow.
When you present a note that has your name already on it and address, it helps law enforcement tremendously. That's an understatement. It's unknown if Harrell has retained a lawyer. Guess the race of, what was his first name? Michael Harrell. Karen?
This would be on the world's dumbest criminal, and I think that we are dumb enough to do this. He went to the DMV because he had a suspended license, and getting that shit filled out, and just gave her the wrong form.
Wait, what race? What race is it?
Black.
Okay, it's going black. Okay, Shalewa.
I am also going to go black for because he wrote "Don't get nobody hurt."
Okay.
On the note.
Okay.
That is, I'm like, okay, that's probably also what's going on with this bank that people keep trying to clumsy crook keep coming in there.
This is the Butterfingers bank.
Drop their, yeah, you know, just their cell phones, their checkbooks. They left a child they have to come back to. Like, what's going on at this janky ass bank?
Y'all see my son? I think I left him in when I was robbing y'all. The chat room.
That crime one, yeah, that one's mine.
The chat room says they was waiting for him at the dough, black. 54-year-old black man, middle age equivalent of posted on social media your crimes. Oh, this was a nigga that did this, black. Now, you know black folks recycle. That's why Harrell used that paper,
that's
black.
That's a very good point.
Missed the cookout this year, black. Poor grammar in the robbery note, black. White. Hey Carol, my paycheck was short. Let me hold something, black. Here's my social security number and the motherfucker's maiden name. My mother's maiden name, Officer Black, and black. The correct answer is everyone universally just about went the same way and they all got it right. He was black.
God. That's hilarious.
All right, and then somebody said they were white, so I gotta play the boo sound effect and get that a second. There you go. Wait, is it playing?
Mm-mm.
All right, so just at your own time, Spotify.
I mean, do we need to boo?
Whenever you feel comfortable. Boo!
Boo!
Boo! Boo! Everybody that said, oh, there you go. Started playing late, guys. Boo! And now it doesn't want to stop. What's happening with this computer? I'll just turn the volume on and hopefully Spotify is stuck. Spotify is so stuck. It was just doing its own thing.
We got the crowd started and the motherfuckers didn't want to stop. They was like, no.
That crime was so egregious.
That was so bad. It was like, we got to boo y'all. Boo.
whoever guessed white got booed for like a minute straight. And you know what? You deserve it. No one else went white on that. Okay.
Oh, they was going to start throwing bottles at y'all in a little bit.
You knew that was a reach. That was like bidding everything on the Jeopardy, the last thing in Jeopardy. you knew you had no business guessing that. But yeah, he was black. Try to put his picture on the screen. Is it showing up?
Yeah.
Doesn't he just look resigned? Like, I know I'm going to jail. I just need $200 for this PlayStation and then I can go to jail in peace. Okay.
Yeah, she got that. I mean, you couldn't shoot him because they got that double bullet glass.
Right. He not feel bad when she said, here you go, Mr. Harrell. Like, he wasn't like, oh, this is a stupid plan. You know, keep the money and don't put me in jail, please. He really was like, yeah, that's
by
fine.
Then, I think he just thought it was another transaction. You know, he's like, well, I'm at the bank,
yeah.
And they do call me by my name. So,
I mean, technically, this is the biggest advance I've ever taken.
I got $200-some.
Yeah, this is just the most major cash advance. Oh, man, that's sad. But, yeah, Mr. Harrell is in jail, so good luck to that guy. All right, we'll get to our last thing before we get out of here. and it's sore ratchetness. But like I told you guys earlier, Spotify is not cooperating on my side. Karen is playing the sore ratchetness sound effect.
That's how it sound to me.
That's basically what it sounds like.
A
sword wielding woman sends victim to the hospital. We don't always get a lot of these sword wielding women. Normally, sword is a weapon of choice for a lot of men. So apparently, Trinity County Dispatch on August 5th was received a 911 call indicating that a female subject had been assaulted near the area of Weaver Street in Weaverville, California. The suspect in the matter had reportedly utilized a sword during the altercation. Multiple units were dispatched to the area. Once on the scene, they detained a female subject identified as Ray Haynes of Weaverville, California. After the detention of Haynes, the victim in the matter was transported by ambulance to a local area hospital, where she was treated for several lacerations and later released. During the investigation, numerous witnesses were identified, all of which indicated that Haynes had struck the victim multiple times with a large sword.
Oh.
The sword was recovered from the scene. During an interview with Haynes, she admitted to having struck the victim multiple times with the sword. Oh, she just like the black dude in the last article. Like, I ain't look. I ain't gonna waste y'all time. I definitely hit the bitch with the sword, okay? So if that's what we here for, then yes, lock me up if that's a crime. Haynes also admitted to having manufactured several incendiary devices. Oh, she gotta be white. Cause like I told you, they had bomb materials on hand when they said. Which had been seized several weeks prior and had remained part of an ongoing investigation. So she caught with bombs or incendiary devices. So bombs, grenades, something. And they didn't lock her up then? They left her out with a sword in her house? What?
I'm ready to buzz in.
I don't have her picture, but if this ain't a white woman, I don't know what is. Haynes was placed under arrest and transported to the Trinity County Jail. The charges are assault with a deadly weapon, criminal threats, and manufacture an incendiary device. She's up out of here. And then they didn't say the condition of the woman that she hacked, but she is in, she was released from the hospital. So, be careful around these motherfuckers that own swords and shit, dog. Okay. I don't know why she hacked that woman up, but I mean, if you can avoid it and you see like somebody got a sword in their crib, just leave, you know, politely.
Yeah. Don't stick around.
Yeah.
Don't stick around.
Don't wait till your news article on our show, guys. All right.
Please don't.
Try and do the Lord's work over here. Shalewa, tell everybody where they can cop the album. I know it comes out, I believe, the 19th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, comes out the 19th. You can pre-order it now on your iTunes, if you're still lucky enough to have iTunes, or Amazon Music, you know, if you don't mind answering to that overlord. but it'll be on all the streaming things, you know, your Spotify, if you can get that to work, or your Tidal, if you got that Jay-Z money. I just have disparaging things to say about all of it, don't I? But that's, you know, just it'll be on all of the things, and it's released on August 19th, which is also my birthday, which is the most Leo thing I think I've ever done, to put out an album on my birthday. But it's called So You Just Out Here, and I'm very happy with it, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm literally buying it right now on the air. Go ahead, pre-order my copy, so I can get this thing as soon as it's hot off the presses. Boom,
so
done.
So when it's down, start downloading at midnight. You have any shows that you're doing anytime soon in case our audience wants to come and see you live?
Oh, that's a very good question. I will be, this is like kind of in the future, but it is definitely happening. I will be in Washington, D.C. on, let's say September 26th. I'm going to be with Courtney Fearington, who has started a show called Some Like It Hot. and that's SOMM as a sommelier. It's about, it's wine and comedy.
Oh.
It's a wine and comedy pairing. So he's done it a few times here in New York, and it's been extremely successful, where he has a somm come in, and he has three comedians, and he's picked out a wine for each comedian. So everyone who goes will get a little, I guess, a shot glass of wine. I'm not exactly sure how you, drink wine.
That's fun.
But and then you know, he's got great comedians. So that will be at the DC Improv on September the 26th. That's a Thursday, and I'm super excited about that. I will be let's see, in New York coming up soon on August 17th. I'm doing Tinder Live with Lane Moore, where you know, comedians go through various Tinder accounts and try to find love.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes, because man, that area of my life is barren. And so you know, let's see, we can find some love in front of a studio audience. And and if you're also in New York on August 27th, I have a show with another comedian named Carolyn. It's called Laying It Down with Carolyn and Shalewa, and it's at Madame X in the West Village, and that will be my album release party. So I've got great people booked on that. Courtney will be doing it. Sam J is going to do it. Oh, my goodness. Ryan Donahue, who's a guy from Boston, is fantastic. Marie Faustin, who's just blowing up all over the place, and it's going to be a good time. Since it's my album party, the theme is going to be albums, so I'm just going to be asking people what their favorite second album of an artist is, because I'm a music nerd. So yeah, so I'm, that's, you know, that's kind of what I've got going on. And then I have a website, shalewasharp.com, or I'm on all the social media at Silky Jumbo. And from there, you can just kind of find all my shows posted various places.
Well, make sure you guys go out and support, because one, Shalewa is so funny. Like, before you get to any of the other stuff, like, just like, you know, because like altruistically, like, no, do it selfishly so you can laugh and have a good time, because she's so funny. And like I said, in preparation for the new album, go listen to Stay Eating Cookies, and then you'll be like, oh my god, I can't wait for this album to drop for part two, because it's so funny, all the way from like the black woman Highlander reference in like the first joke. I love she was like, my parents taught me to hate everything that's not black, and I'm like, oh yeah, same, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's like, it's not so much rooting for as rooting against, for me.
Yeah.
But nah, that's so dope. So glad you came on the show, Shalewa, and good luck with the album.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much. It's always a joy talking to you. You guys are fantastic. What you do is wonderful. I love following both of you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you guys had me on.
Anytime. And you guys make sure you guys go cop the album, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm copping it. You guys cop it. Let's see if we can maybe like get it to number one on iTunes that day. You know what I'm saying? See if we can do a little magic, little sprinkle, a little something. All right, y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.